This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. We've got a lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com, state of the future. And also NCS 51, you got to check that one out. If you haven't signed up to be a part of the most radical idea in the world, creating a new state, you best do it like right now. Right now, yeah, I'm serious. That we're becoming a new state. It's actually happening right before your very eyes. Once you join and sign up, you can see it. Right, you'll start. You have to have that leap of faith that jumps on in it. Anyway. New California is going to be a reality. We're going to be talking to Chris Street here in very short order. We're going to open it up with the B block for Chris Street. And by the way, in the third hour, we're going to be opening up the phone lines because we haven't had – this is the Friday that we can do that, right? We should be doing it this hour, but I'm not going to do that. Maybe I will. Maybe if you want to call in and talk to Chris. But the call-in line – for that, of course, is 215-867-8255. That's 215-867-8255, and that's Top Talk. So that will definitely be open the entire third hour, so we'll answer any of your questions. I know that a lot of people have a ton of questions. We also offer, and it's going to be coming up this Sunday, a conference call. This is the traditional open-to-the-public conference call that we do in New California because people want to find out what's going on and have questions and things like that. That's going to be part of the whole thing. And then this particular conference call ought to be interesting because we're going to have a guest, and I'm not going to tell you who that is yet. Anyway, that's just, it's going to be a fun one. It really will. It'll really put things into perspective as to what's going on with New California and the rest of the nation. And you know what? We were kind of laying it on fairly thick here in the last segment about what's going on in Chicago and New Illinois movement, because there actually is a New Illinois movement. And I suspect that movement could produce the 52nd state. And it's very, very clear that the 51st state is going to be, yes, New California. So it's going to happen in that order. So I think you're going to be able to find that you're going to get two more states at some point in time. And that's going to be New California, New Illinois, and Chicago will be Illinois. That it'll be its own stand. That's going to be all that's left of Illinois, is Chicago. So you get the drift. It's kind of like here in California. California, when we split apart, we're going to be a brand new state, but California, the remnants of it, is still going to be left. It's still going to be a state. But New California will be in a new state. It'll be the old state, will be the new state. Get it? Chicago will be the old Illinois. Then you'll have New Illinois, which will be, you know, the lower counties of Illinois, whatever they say. And then we also have coming up right there is New Nevada, which I find very interesting. If New California comes in basically in the same Congress or in the same, let's say the same 4 years as Donald Trump takes in, they come in together with California and they come, in other words, if New California, let me get this straight because I'm trying to get the historical perspective so you see how this works. If Donald Trump, when Donald Trump gets elected, the bottom line, New California is going to come on board. And if he takes in New Nevada, and that becomes in, then it's going to be interesting because it was Abraham Lincoln. It was Abraham Lincoln that brought in West Virginia. And West Virginia was the state that was following the Article 4, Section 3 state split process like we are. West Virginia was the third state to follow that. We are going to be the fourth. So if Donald Trump, we get brought in under Donald Trump, and Nevada gets brought in, New Nevada gets brought in under Donald Trump, that's the equivalency of what happened with Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln in 1863 brought in West Virginia, which we're following here in the New California model. And, of course, what happened in 1864 on the run-up to the 1864 election was that Nevada became a state. Nevada actually helped push the presidency to Abraham Lincoln because they brought in three additional electoral votes as a new state. By the way, and guess who really brought in that whole proclamation? That was definitely Donald Trump. Anyway, just to give you kind of a big heads up there. But anyway, this is going to be, I think, a historic moment. So Donald Trump will bring in New California and bring in New Nevada, just in the same historical context as Abraham Lincoln bringing in West Virginia and then Nevada back in the 1860s. Isn't that amazing? The history of these things, these states and how the states come. But now, Nevada was a territory, so it functioned a little bit differently than having to get permission from, there wasn't a state yet, so there was nobody to appeal to, right? Isn't that interesting? I find it shocking, absolutely shocking. I'm getting all kinds of signals here that Chris might be ready for us right now. I'm not too sure. Says, what does he say here? Look, oh, he's ready. He's ready. So we're going to pull him in right now and see what he has to say for himself. We got a ton of stuff to cover, but I just want to make sure that we get him all hooked up here and ready to go. And we'll see. I'm on the screen, and he's on the screen. So, Chris, you with us?
I'm with you, Paul.
Awesome. Listen, a lot of people, I didn't really get this whole thing prepped for you yet, but, over the last couple of weeks, you and I and the New Californians have been raising a ruckus and not making Gavin Newsom very happy out here. And right now he's even more unhappy because all of the things you were talking about, and with all the different grievances and press releases and so on about the state of affairs financially for California, well, all those chickens are starting to come home to roost, because I was reading a story that you forwarded to me from the Mercury, San Jose Mercury, about payments from federal funds that were supposed to be made to people, yet the California state government hasn't made those payments to those people. What's up with that?
Squawking, Paul. You know, details matter, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And the California movement, you've been, we sort of are, you know, the perfect combination, because you follow the politics and the philosophy, and I follow the money. And one thing about me is I am relentless at following dollars. So if, my wife always tells me that I should remember people's names. And, you know, I guess as a guy, you can say, hey, buddy, hey, chief, hey, dude, you know, but for women, maybe that's more valuable. But in business, it was tremendously valuable, because she was on the detail for every single person out there. And I just can't remember personal names. But following money is what I'm really, really good at. And I'm an economist, and I believe that economics drives politics, not politics drives economics. And of course, economics is the study of money, right, Paul?
Right, right.
Yeah, something about eating is, you know, not really appreciated to our, you know, elitist friends who, you know, their only problem about eating is whether it's going to be caviar or steak tartare. So, but for most people, you know, it's just about money, and all of the complexity of the world that's tried to build up, most of that is what I call mysticism, Paul. It's right. A way to distract you from the reality of what the situation is. And I wrote a series of articles about starting in 2018 about how California was facing the equivalent of an incoming meteor of financial collapse. And that meteor was getting closer and closer, and I joined the New California Movement in October 2018. 18, you know, basically predicting that California would default financially in October of 2021. So I became kind of the same whack job as Paul Preston, who said that, you know, California would divide into two states. And my belief on this is that all things go through yin and yang. And as it comes back the other way, nobody wants to change. So they allow it to get worse and worse and worse. And that's California. California was on the way to collapse maybe in October of 2020, maybe in October of 2021, because that's a low cash flow point for the state. And so they're very reliant, starting usually on somewhere in April, May, on borrowing. At first, they borrow internally, and by June 30th, July 1, beginning of their fiscal year, they normally have to borrow $25 to $35 billion. Those are bubbas, Paul. Right. Those are a lot of money. It takes them to December 10th when they get the tax drop, which is from, of course, your property tax payment is due. So for my, you call it a magic ball. I just call it a real complex algorithm. My calculations showed that they were going to run out of cash probably in October 2020, might get over from that point, but surely it would hit the wall in October 2021. But then there was coronavirus, right, Paul?
Right, right. That's the problem.
So coronavirus stole a year of their life. So, you know, my prediction now is, you know, they probably default in October, and they surely will of 2020, and surely in 2021. And taking a look at that, coming into the June 30th period and they had to borrow money, I was so convinced, in the same way I do math and structures, the same way that Moody's credit rating, I assumed that, you know, this might be accelerated. As California tried to borrow money, they would have to ask for credit rating. They'd get slashed and there'd be a crisis. People wouldn't, you know, wanted cash instead of taking IOUs and rubber checks. And so we kind of watched this countdown towards June 30th. And what I noticed is California all of a sudden miraculously found, you know, close to $60 billion of what they call borrowable resources. What are borrowable resources, Paul?
Well, it's money that's probably inside their own accounting system. Like they have several thousand accounts they can pull money from.
Right. So it's just it's you know dollars laying around, right?
Well, let me give you an example for the listeners. It's like you have you go to the bank and you have one bank, you have one, say, checking account in that one checking account, but you decide you're going to have 15, maybe 20 savings accounts, and so you start squirreling away money in those savings accounts. The state kind of does the same thing, except those savings accounts are actual accounts that, you know, are supposed to go to welfare payments and to education and things like that. But in those accounts, there's always money available because a lot of these entities have their own reserves, and the state can pull money from those entities. That's what he's talking about when borrowable accounts and funds.
So the borrowable resources, but miraculously, Paul, my calculation said that California basically lost $60 billion of tax revenue. And I did a show for you, one of your New California meetings, and I said, I think it was on May 13th, California looks like they had an $85 billion revenue shortfall. This was a cash shortfall. And lo and behold, the next morning on the 14th, you know, the Legislative Analyst Office, which is the nonpartisan, supposedly honest part of the California state government, told the legislature they had an $85 billion shortfall. And I think what they did is they followed us, but tracking back up through California, it was became evident that California has refused to file audited financial numbers for the period going through June of 2019, the end of their fiscal year. It's now over a year after that, and under federal law, you have to file within 6 months, and if you don't file within 9 months, you can be partially withhold, suspended, or terminated. So California now is in full default on $93 billion more in dollars. And looking at these borrowable resources, Paul, it looked like all of a sudden California was slow paying everything, especially federal funds, to you know find a way to you know to get themselves past October 2020. And lo and behold, the these things just keep coming up. The San Jose Mercury reported that there are 2 million unemployment claims filed with the state in the first 3 months of this government ordered business lockdown, April, May, June, and that California is not paying this out because they say they're having, you know, they have a you know a staffing problem. I guarantee you, Paul, there's so many people want to work. They're dying to work. They'd work 24 hours a day. People are having a hard time of it now. And then it's computers, right? Computer problem. So California, even assembly members, David Chu of San Francisco said he can't explain why there are 2 million Californians who have filed for unemployment legitimately and haven't received a payment. Paul, this is called check kiting.
Yeah, this is it. This is the reason I wanted to get you on the show this morning right away to get this out because, you know, you've been talking about check kiting now to all the new Californians and all of our meetings and so on. And you certainly talked about it on Wednesday night when we had that just fabulous blowout meeting down there in Orange County for everybody in Orange County. But this is the real smoking gun. What's happened that the Mercury, San Jose Mercury newspaper has put out, that there's 2 million people who have not received their unemployment claims. It's tied directly to that federal money you're talking about.
Well, that's right, because remember, federal money, each one of these federal grants comes with all kinds of paper. You know, the federal government, they may not be good at a lot of things, but they're really good at paper. They have lots of auditors and accountants, and there's lots of histories of fraud, and they got to be careful. And so they've got, you know, they get double, triple, quadruple protection for all of their accounts. And I'm sure that there's an accountant, you know, a very competent bureaucrat in each one of these funding streams for this $93 billion that dutifully looks at every file and notices that only one state in the United States, only one state in the 50 states and the District of Columbia have not filed an audited financial statement on time. That is rather unique to hold that pricing. That state is California. So after the 6 months for the 2017-2018 fiscal year, which ended in June 2018, California did not file its audited return until June of 2020. So they were, more than 6 months late, more than 9 months late, more than a year. They were 2 years late, and they still were getting money from the federal government. The risk here is that the Trump administration realizes this and asks either for an investigation or, more likely, goes to court and gets a type of administrator called a master or a referee or some kind. And the courts dutifully do this. It would tie the money up, and all hell would break loose. So, this is what New California is about. New California is about, old California going through the last mating calls of the dinosaurs. They're claiming how great they are, how wonderful they are, even as the meteor gets more orange and orange. And there'll be an extinction event, and that extinction event, I think, will happen in October of this year or October of next year. But how do you stop it? How did the dinosaurs stop it? They didn't.
Well, and, I don't see that. First of all, this is just an amazing story that they come up with 2 million people. That's a lot of money. I don't know how much that calculates to. It's got to be a big number.
It's about $4,500 a month.
Right.
It's 2 million people. More important, that's, Paul, that's $17,000. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. If you've got family of two, that's $34,000 to two adults working. So, that's a third of your year, too. That's actually better than, Trump's economic stimulus was the exact opposite of what Democrats normally want. They want to give money to states and the federal government, have them spend money on stimulus, right? Stimulus, buy things, do things, stimulus. None of that ever gets to the people. It goes to the crony capitalists that, pay for Democrats.
Right, right. Well, what's interesting, if you go through the 4,500 and then you times it by 12, wait a minute, what did they do here? It gave me a funny number. I mean, that's several billion dollars.
Yeah, that's billions.
Billions. Okay, so, and they've got, was it 24 or 23 billion that they got from the federal government?
Well, they actually got 27.
$6 billion
for the COVID, but they got another $10 billion for unemployment as a loan.
That's
so they
right.
got $37 billion.
Now let's talk about the control of the loan, the $10 million. That's kind of the what we're looking at here.
Billion.
The billion. Yeah. I'm sorry. We have to always do that billion business.
Small-minded, yeah, Paul. Small-minded.
For the listeners, $1 billion equals $1,000 million to get to a billion. Get it?
Yeah.
And it's $1,000 billion to get to a trillion. Okay, so we're talking about, though, that you've got this $10 billion that came in, and it doesn't look like, they've used, they're talking about at least maybe $6 billion of it has been expended, and so they've got another $4 billion they haven't put out there. What about the COVID business, though, because that's a bigger chunk of money. Where's that?
We just don't know, Paul. That's the whole point here. Is that you don't know. And I guess if you don't know, that's actually been a pretty good deal for, the state of California, right?
Right. But they have requirements where they have to get rid of that money over so many days, right? Like 90 days or something like that. They can only hold it for 90 days.
The California gets a 12% overhead. What's the term for it? They get administrative fee. They get a 12% administrative fee on every dollar they come in. So when you people do not understand the Democrat Party. They would sell anything because for 12.5% overhead. Nancy Pelosi gets 31% of the nation's TANF, which is welfare, and 33% of the nation's Obamacare. They get 12.5% on basically a third of all social spending. You think the other states are unhappy? They're just good at it. So this overhead money, though, comes with rules. You know, it's like giving liquor and car keys to teenagers. Giving money and power to governments like giving liquor and car keys to teenagers. You know, everybody knows that, you know, government people can't be trusted. So the federal government's been at this for a long time. So they're very strict rules. And they're, you know, accountants, as I said, that, you know, dutifully write down all the paper and all the things that aren't right. You know, the fact there's no audited financials and the fact that this goes off. All of that is papered. It's in the book. But people haven't done anything about it yet, probably because of the, you know, the severity of the coronavirus.
So I would think that something that comes out of the, especially the mercury, which is red everywhere because it's right in the middle of Silicon Valley. This was a premier story that was out there, I think, 3 days or 2 days ago. And obviously, your articles that appeared in American Thinker, our press releases, which we've gotten massive feedback from people in the State Assembly and State Senate, I might add, because that they're, you know, these people have found themselves on the outs. You know, normally we talk about this all the time. When you form a government, you have three co-equal branches of government. You have the executive, you have the judiciary, and then you have the legislative. And right now in California, the way it's been set up, with the governor having full power and authority over everybody, including the legislature, because of the COVID virus, he is a dictator, essentially. And in fact, what's happened is that the legislative part of the government has been relegated to nowhere land. they're not a part of the government at all, and they're not really playing any real role right now because of the governor's powers, which he does not seem to want to relinquish, obviously. And of course, as you are watching, everybody watches this play out. Shockingly, the virus situation, the COVID virus in California situation, has just gone crazy now, and the dictator in chief is demanding everybody must wear a mask in all the stores, this, that, and the other, or they're going to get a $10,000 fine. Last hour, I called this just straight up extortion by the governor. But he, you know, he's positioned himself to be in that position. It sets up some interesting dynamics going forward, Chris, with this whole notion that he's kicked out the legislature. They don't seem to have anything to do, but lo and behold, there's this new California out there that one of the requirements of the Constitution is that we meet directly with the legislature concerned. So I can't ask for a better situation than what we have right now. Basically, you have the exclusion by the governor of the legislature, which just sets it up perfect for all of us in New California to negotiate directly with the legislature.
Well, that's right, Paul. You know, you use the Insurrection Act, and this is where the Insurrection Act is an act of, you know, when something really goes wrong, there's, you know, it can be for many reasons. The president has the right to implement the Insurrection Act to, you know, to stop revolution in the street or whatever. But it also gives the ability for the president to call all the parties together in the same room that are warring and ask them to come to an agreement. So when California defaults, the first thing they're going to do is run to their good friends in Washington, D.C., only they don't have any good friends because they're already getting a third of all welfare and Obamacare. The rest of the states hate them because because Nancy Pelosi is so good at, you know, basically stealing from the rest of the states. You know, it's an art form. She's a big entrepreneur. And so they'll get rejected there. They'll go to Wall Street. Wall Street will laugh and say, "What? Did I lend you money? What? Because everybody on Wall Street now is at risk of being sued personally and financially liable. Every firm, and they're not going to go with with somebody who can't be trusted. And then there's going to be a third party. And guess who that third party is? That third party is going to be New California, because if you look at the financials of old California, you know, as far as they're concerned in Sacramento, it's Sacramento, the Bay Area, and the Los Angeles Basin, right? That gives them the ports. That gives them all the relationships with China. That gives them Silicon Valley. That gives them everything they want. And everybody else, they treat like dirt because in their world, financially, it's a burden. they don't see agriculture or factories or production or transportation or any of these other kinds of water development. They don't see that as value, Paul, because it's not part of their business model. We're actually, you know, a loss center. So it won't be too hard. California has no financing and will have no access to financing. We will. We're willing to pay reasonable costs to divorce ourselves from California. And that reasonable cost is going to be a big part of the workout to get old California going. Now, do I think old California will change? Yes, it'll be even more of a social justice wonderland, everything they want.
Well, it's all panning, it's all going in the direction that we've been talking about. It's sort of like it's here, and it's kind of interesting how this whole thing goes on. Go ahead.
It's what do you say, Paul? You've been right, and you continue to be right. And the reason you're right, Paul, is that you know numbers don't lie. Liars use numbers, but when consistently numbers tell you something, you ought to listen.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. We've been played for so long, and we're all so comfortable. One of the things I was noticing the other night when I was in Orange County, you know, we grew up in Orange County. We've known it since it was Orange Groves, and it's certainly a different place today. But the people are still relatively the same. I mean, they're all there for the same reasons. They want a fair shake, and it's pretty obvious that people in Orange County are not getting a fair shake. If you know what I mean, yeah. But this governor certainly the fear factor that I sense with everybody in Orange County and also in LA Basin was palpable to some degree.
Well, you got to remember that most Democrats are just regular people. You know, I mean, they're not. You know, Democrats used to be the conservative. Republicans used to be the sort of liberals. You know, so, you know, the political parties really don't matter that much. You know, they've strayed a long ways from what they used to be. And so average people are sort of caught in the middle, aren't they?
Right. Absolutely.
They don't have a home. It doesn't make sense to them. On the other hand, you know, the extremes of both parties feel better being even more extreme.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens in the next, I would say, well, the next week, because it seems like as we go further and further and further and further into July, there's going to be more, I think, desperate signs being emanated by the governor. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the most recent one was these mandates that he's shoving down the throats of all these counties about restaurants can't be open and things like that. Everybody has to be wearing a mask no matter where it is, threatening $10,000 fines to restaurateurs and other people and other businesses. And, you know, it's just amazing. The most innocuous places, you just open the door to go in and they're just all jumping on you already, you know, almost doing the bidding, the fear factor bidding of the governor. But at some point in time, Chris, people are just going to realize this is all a bunch of garbage, and there's got to be something better in store for them besides being threatened and intimidated by a bully.
Well, I wish that was the case, Paul, but normally it has to do with the crisis just, you know, washes right away the old and brings in the new. And most people, you know, they've got their own responsibilities and things they need, and so they're not personally involved, and they just kind of – it gets worse and worse and worse. And then all of a sudden something horrendous happens and, you know, it's the right time to change it. And that, you know, I sort of feel bad for Tewsom Newsom. You know, here's a guy who all his life has just put his finger up and watched which way the wind was blowing and went that way. And that's how he got into office. And he wasn't, you know, it was the biggest shock to him. There was a financial problem in October. He didn't know it until the legislative analyst office told him. And he's still kind of like shocked. You know, it's just a young man without any experience. And, you know, he's going to go down with it. He's going to make it worse by, you know, his actions because, you know, if I'm scared to death, I need to act tough on the outside. He ought to be more empathetic and he ought to be more honest on the outside. It would be, you know, it would be better for all of us. He won't do it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's it would be a welcome sight to see something like that. Let's talk a little bit about the rebuilding of California and New California, because at some point in time, everything's going to collide. It's pretty obvious what we're going to see, and things will go very quickly at the moments of attack, so to speak, that when all the money runs out, the realization's there, there'll be phone calls that won't be answered, there won't be any help, and then they're going to have to turn to an alternative. It's kind of interesting, and I don't know if you're aware of this, though, but the legislature's not going to be in session anymore, and apparently they're going to make a call either today or Monday that they're basically going to go on a hiatus because of the COVID virus, which basically tells me that it sounds like the legislature's, you know, and as my source told me in the legislature, it just looks like, you know, they're just turning the whole state over to Gavin Newsom. And indefinitely is what the word is. So this could happen on Monday. There's going to be a vote to determine about the legislature and the Senate and the Assembly. This effectively puts Gavin Newsom in charge of the state without any kind of conflict or any kind of counterbalance by the legislature. These are horrific times when you completely wipe out the Republican form of government as comes by the U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. That's a requirement that the state and the federal government has to provide a Republican form of government to California. Well, of course, that's not happening. But it does give us that opportunity to, as New Californians, to work directly with the legislature, which can vote and which can take charge and on its own volition, pass resolutions to move us on to statehood, which the governor can't control. That's how, see, this is the beauty of this. That process is completely out of the control of the governor, because if you wanted to run a bill, then it would be under control of the governor. He'd have to sign it. By running a bill, it's different from a resolution. And a resolution is has a lesser threshold of being passed, but it does have validity sometimes as a law in the legislature, and the legislature can pass it on its own. And so there is the dilemma there, and this is what, you know, that I talk about the founding fathers and the beauty and the simplicity of their words and how they used them to identify the process that we're exercising right now. It's a clear pathway for New Californians to work directly with the legislature on this process. My question to you is about the process. What do you see as a timeline? And you don't have to go by specific dates, but a window of opportunity for us to really be at the sweet spot of financial negotiations with the legislature.
Well, I think, Paul, that everybody's coming around to what we see. You know, I mean, I'm good at numbers. I'm leading the pack in numbers because that's what I do. I don't lead the politics. I lead the numbers. You know what? If I'm on the big problem, and I'm the guy that can go in the room and get the legislative together, because in the Insurrection Act, they carve out the governor. The governor has no vote. It's just the legislature. And if the federal government calls the Insurrection Act and puts us in with the, you know, with the legislature, when the financial crisis hits, you know, it's going to be about what to do right away. So as I've said, the worst is in October, about the second, third week of October. Normally is the worst cash flow for the state. It gets a little better because, you know, Christmas merchandise is being sold down and some revenues are coming in, you know, sales taxes and such like that in November. And then, of course, it recovers in December, goes down in January, February, back up in March and April, and then pretty much goes on vacation until October. So you are in a situation where, you know, this could happen, you know, September, October. This could, maybe they make it past all the way to December by some lucky type situation or whatever. And then they go into next year. But at some point, Moody's credit rating service out of nowhere is going to downgrade them. Right now, they haven't downgraded them because California hasn't asked to borrow money. But at some point in the normal process, Moody's will give them a downgrade, and that'll just be horrific. Because then their access to cash in the future is basically zero. They can play this game with the federal government. They're doing right now. But remember, Paul, you can't actually steal the money. You got to pay it back at some point. So
that's another question, because I was talking to some people from Washington, and they kept on reminding me that, as you're talking about the 20-some billion dollars that the federal government has given them, if they're out there using that and spending that on, you know, the budget itself, when they're not paying people as they should be, because that money is destined by the federal government to come to businesses and to people for unemployment and so on. They said to me, they said, Paul, you do have to realize, if they spend the $24 billion, you know, in order to be functional and whole again, they have to replace that money.
Well, they're not spending that $24, Paul. They're borrowing that $24.
Well, yeah, $24
billion. $24
billion. I mean, billion.
But Paul, you know, they're borrowing that money, okay? So
right.
They don't consider it, you know, legally is not spent money, is borrowed money. But hey, wait a second. You know, the problem with borrowed money is, if you ever have to spend that, anybody needs it, it's not there. You
right.
have to pay it back.
That's right.
You know? So they think they can get away with this, you know, in tax drop in December. But in tax drop in December, that just means all that money is going to go back into the federal government accounts to be distributed. And then they're worse than worse, right?
Right.
Because they've not only spent the money that they didn't have, but the tax revenue says take them, you know, through the rest of the year and all the way up until, you know, the April tax drop, that money's gone. So there's another crisis, you know, probably in January, February, as I said. So, you know, Paul, whatever this is, you know, it's there's a saying in Wall Street, you should never be picking up nickels in front of a steamroller.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're going to every piece of money they can find. There's a quarter on the street. My God, it's a quarter, not a nickel. It's a quarter. They run up there. Oh, my hand got caught. You know, it only takes one mistake and you're done.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So, you know, that's for your listeners. That's why you listen to Agenda 21. That's why you join New California, because this is really going to be fun. Imagine if you could start over and throw away all of the mistakes. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're Republican, a Democrat, or whatever, this isn't working. It's not, to me, it's not about philosophy, it's about money. If the money was right, if everybody had $24, $25 an hour jobs, we wouldn't have, you know, welfare problems. We wouldn't have, you know, racial problems. We'd have people too busy getting married and having kids and thinking about what kind of house they're going to own. You know, that's what we used to have in America. And that's what the progressives, the really extreme progressives, gave away. They thought it was morally correct to give it to China. And the fact that they were in on the gig, you know, that they were, you know, multinationalists and such like that, and heirs to fortunes, you know, they avoided their own, you know, sleazy benefit from this and their greed, and called themselves humanitarians. Most amazing thing I've ever heard.
Hmm. Well, let's talk for a second about another impact upon California, and that's the Three Gorges Dam business. And the Hubei Dam. Are you familiar with that one?
Yes. There's another dam. It's called Zhangjing Dam, which is another dam that had to open all its nine of its spillways all the way too. So, you know, either one of these dams, you know, the Three Gorges Dam. The beauty of the Three Gorges Dam is, you know, it puts 400 million people at risk. You know, this little dam, you know, the other dam that's the new problem, yeah, that only threatens maybe 20, 30 million.
Just
I would call those big numbers, wouldn't you?
Pretty big numbers as far as I'm concerned, as far as I can see.
That's kind of like Southern California. What do you think of Southern California? I don't. It got washed away.
Yeah, it's goodbye. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. So this flooding, though, is going the flooding is hurting China right now. Besides, the dams are not broken yet. But I'll tell you, the Three Gorges one, just a casual look at some of those pictures that are popping up, or the overhead satellite things, it would indicate, especially with the large amount of water that's been coming in, and as you've been so rightfully projecting, you know, what, 20, 30 inches in a one-day period, you know, sustaining itself over the course of the next 30 days is going to put absolute horrific pressure on those dams. And I don't see how they can hold up, especially many of them were engineered improperly. That's another big deal.
They were not engineered improperly. The communists said they would be there would be a dam there and it would be straight. And there's a dam there and it's straight. Except that's not what you do with dams.
You don't make them straight.
No, never. You make them curve out into the water. And the reason you do that is because the pressure is always on the center. So by having it curve out, kind of like a headlight curving out, is that you displace the pressure in the center off to the sides. It's part of what's called this thing engineering.
A minor little problem, engineering.
Details.
Yeah.
Details.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting when you take a look at the Three Gorges Dam. It's one of the largest. I think it's the largest dam in the world right now.
Largest hydroelectric dam in the history of the world.
But it was supposed to be a straight line, but now it looks like a the S turns in Le Mans.
Oh, Paul, you're just so.
I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
You're just so caught. You know, don't you understand that that's a heresy to talk like that? Communists are not distracted by facts.
Apparently not. Apparently not. So let me ask you this question, because, you know, I'm very, very fond of Taiwan. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen with a collapsing communist China in Taiwan and, say, Hong Kong?
Well, why is China playing hardball with Taiwan and essentially invaded Hong Kong and took it all over and found one of the finest hotels there, a 23-story hotel with a rooftop pool, and made that the new communist headquarters, and is exporting people to China and taking over. It's just part of their effort to distract you from the fact that the people are going to starve. I mean, think about it. The economy of China needs America more than America needs China. I mean, we're the customer. We could do this stuff somewhere else. And secondly, think about China. Even if this dam doesn't go and kill 400 million people, it has already flooded factories everywhere, ruined tech centers. And, what about crops? China is famous for producing lots of food and then having massive famines, right?
Yeah.
They're all of the, basically all the grains have been wiped out. The government right now is telling the people to plant rice. Well, planting rice isn't just like something you decide to do on Thursday. You've got to have a little rice stocks and you've got to be, prepared to do this. And it's really, when you're talking about 1.4 billion people, that's a lot of scale. The government is saying, well, you should now, plant rice. It's sort of like what Marie Antoinette saying, well, if there's no bread, let them eat cake.
Right.
Because she always had cake.
Yeah, of course. She didn't know any different. Anyway, Chris, tell us how you can get a hold of you, because we're going to run for time now.
I'm always in the American Thinker about once or twice a week and on Epoch Times. And, of course, I'm here with Paul, in the dugout, waiting for the ultimate shock and awe.
No, I'm telling you, we're going to do the walk-off Grand Slam home run here pretty soon. There's no question
about
that.
Drop the mic, right?
That's right. We're absolutely going to do that. Anyway, Chris, thanks for being with us today. Chris Street here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, 821R.com. And, of course, you can check out that article from the Mercury, which tells all. We told you so, and we're going to continue to tell you so. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
I'm going to do what I can do through executive action.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. It's a21r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com. newcaliforniastate.com, state of the future. Man, oh man, oh man, are we talking about a statehood or what? Yeah, we are, brother. We are. We're talking about statehood and statehood status, which is interesting. You know, it's kind of this whole story that's now cropping up. You just can't stay. Newsom can run, but he cannot hide about these factors. He really can't. And that's what he's trying to hide in plain sight, but it's not working for him. This is a guy that doesn't get up in public and speak much in public. To the public. You never see. I mean, he's that insecure. He's cloistered. Literally, he's cloistered. And this is kind of a, I mean, I'm telling you, I think it's pretty bizarre when you have somebody who's cloistered like what you're seeing with Gavin Newsom. And there's something wrong with the picture when you're that cloistered, I'm telling you. You know, and I tell this story all the time, but when he was being inaugurated, at his inauguration, you know, they're going to have the grounds of the state capitol just completely filled with humans. It was so-called the people's the people's inauguration. That's what it was. Signs all over the place. Well, it wasn't the people at all. In fact, there were no people there. We the people weren't there. They wouldn't let us in. He was given a tent on the grounds of the, right there in the state capitol. He was given a big tent to have his inauguration in, and you had to have a ticket, and only the elites could get in. Yeah, that's we the people. that's what it is for Gavin Newsom. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.